Welcome to episode 124 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris. Lynn may be joining us as well. And we have a flight of beer. So I don't think we've ever done this before, Mike. A flight of Belgian Trappist beers, all from the same monastery brewery.
The Monkeries?
Chimay. Yes, from the Monkery.
The classic.
Chimay, you can get just about everywhere, so everyone can participate in this episode with us.
I hope so, and I would like to share a story about Chimay when we get to that before we go to Listomania.
All right, so first we're going to crack open the first one. This is Chimay's Cinque Sens. I believe this is their triple, so we're starting with the triple.
So,
which is a golden.
There's white. Yeah. Blue, red,
and gold, I think, is the only one we have.
Oh, wait. I'm gonna go blind.
Gotta He's pop the
shoot.
Cork.
It's it's gonna go
750 here. Here it comes, guys.
Oh,
ready?
Okay.
Ready? It's just about.
Oh, that's what she said. Whoa! Look at the steam come out of that.
Make sure the dog doesn't eat that.
Will you guys explain the triple? What it means, what's a triple?
Yeah, that's what's going
to
go
it's
into.
It's basically like related label. To the malt bill, the amount of malt that goes into it. So like a triple will be higher alcohol than a double. But like...
But what's the base? What's the single?
Is like a golden ale.
It's a
Belgian
blonde?
Golden ale or a Belgian blonde would be a single. Then you have doubles. Doubles are generally darker with more malt. And then you have triples, which are generally lighter.
Which is T-R-I-P-E-L.
Yep. Generally lighter with... And a lot of times they'll use like rock candy sugars and stuff like that to kind of up the alcohol. And then you have quads beyond that, or quads, which are
generally
raisiny and like a lot darker in color as well. And then, those are kind of like the standard Belgian.
So we're starting with the triple?
We're starting with the triple. We could have swapped the golden one and probably should have, but we too late.
Right. 6 minutes of prep. But yeah, the thing with Chimay.
Oops, that head is like. Yeah, you gotta be careful pouring this because it's got a nice, beautiful little bubble head. I wouldn't say tiny bubble.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to cream over the top with the head. Oh, look at that beautiful color. Oh, and look at that.
Yeah, so this is the white bottle Chimay. Cinque Sens. Is that sound Belgian?
Sank. I know that's five, but what's the other word you're saying?
Sense.
Cinq cents. So like 500?
What language do they speak in Belgium? French?
French, yeah.
French and like something else? Too?
No, just French. Just maybe French. A little bit of German, but mostly French. Cinq is five. Cent means 100. Is that 500? Oh, that just smells like beer.
So color, nice straw, maybe a little darker straw color. We talked about the head already.
Completely clear.
And
absolutely
the head just
clear.
Like
and an amazing
rocky
fluffy,
head just
rocky
hangs
head.
Around.
Yeah.
You could carve a sculpture out of the head.
And you can smell malt. Smell
you smell some sweetness, some biscuity, a little biscuity, a little.
Like it smells like a good beer.
That's delicious.
Yeah.
You had to sip?
Oh, yeah. Whoops.
No. It's totally cool.
Would this be like a Mussels and Crepes beer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in a recent beer experience, it has a nice bitter finish, though. It starts off with a sweet, like open on the mouth, but then it finishes with that crisp.
Yeah, this is an 8% beer. Oh, man. That's so good.
It's really good.
Just like... Chimay's this is a beer perfect. That takes you back a little bit too, because this is a beer that I've had before many times,
yes.
And like having that traditional Trappist triple beer like takes me back to like, oh, I've had this over my lifetime many times, and it just like feels good.
So we gotta go over Trappist again.
Yes, the Trappist monasteries. There are
monkeries.
There are
17.
14, I think, only now. 16?
Damn it.
And they're as old as time itself, right?
Yes.
Most of them are. There was actually an American one in Massachusetts that we had one episode. They've closed since, so they're no longer a Trappist monastery.
And Omegang tried to emulate the Belgian beer tights with the Three Philosophers, which was a very good beer.
Yeah, so there... Oh, I could have sworn this said how many there were, but no, I can't find it because...
Well, some beer. Talk about Trappist and I'll get the number.
All right, so some of the other Trappist beers that you probably heard of, Echelle, you can find most places. Chimay, of course. You might see La Trappe. You might see Orval. Orval is in a lot of places. Rochefort, you've probably seen. Spencer was the American one that is no longer available. Westmalle.
Westmalle has like that grail. Like
no, that's West Veleteren. West Veleteren is the one that you can only get at the monastery and the bar across the street from the monastery.
And similar to Chaotic Quest, we had an opportunity to sample a bottle of that.
And we did not.
Because I was not aware of the gravity of this offer, did not seize on it. And then that person proceeded to move to Manhattan and we did not get the chance to sample that one beer that the guy horse traded to get. And because I had a beer cut podcast, he was like, this is the type of beer you should have. But he's like, you guys are rank amateurs. Because you did not understand that this is one of the greatest beers in the world and you're not running to my house to drink it when I offered it. Because you know what I had to go through to get this. Now I get it. But at the time, I was like, whatever, dude. I got kids.
You got it eventually.
No, I haven't had it yet.
You got the point.
Oh, I got the point. Sure.
As of January 20, 2022, there are 14 Trappist monasteries.
What?
As
of the January 31st, 2023, there's 11.
Okay, so they've shrunk. Well, that U.S. one, I think, was still there, and that's closed. It closed in 2022, so.
That's terrible.
There's like six of them in Belgium. Two in the Netherlands, one in Austria, one in Italy, one in England, one in France, one in Spain.
What the hell is the difference between Belgium and the Netherlands?
They're different countries.
Oh, okay. Got it.
The Danes and the Belges.
Belgians.
Isn't that Denmark is the same as the Netherlands? That's the one where it's two different words.
No, Denmark's thing. Part of the
Scandinavia.
Scandinavia, yes, thank you.
Is that different than Netherlands?
Yes. The Vikings versus the
Danes have the little thing with that almost touches Sweden or whatever.
Yeah, that Copenhagen Little Mermaid shit.
Which one of those is the low countries? They call those
the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
Yeah, they get flooded
countries.
A lot.
Yeah.
Amsterdam and shit. Oh, it's definitely the beers going.
But
right
that's Belgium too. Is the low? Is that the low countries too?
I don't. That's why I said there's not much difference between Belgium and Netherlands, except for like some artificial boundary and language.
Isn't that most the whole planet, Mike?
Oh,
artificial
fine.
Boundaries.
Well, fine. Okay.
All right, this beer is delicious.
It is.
You've
fantastic.
Got a Listomania that you're going to do about 10 of those, right? What is that list from? Give us the source your thing.
So it's from delish.com. And what they did is they collected, they categorized a series of beers and picked the best of those categories. And then they compiled them a list of the 31 best beers you must try right now based on type and flavor profile. But before I get to this list of mania, if you don't mind, part of like a recent beer experience, a question was asked earlier, like, let's put ourselves on do not disturb and or silent mode. But one of our recent experiences was going to a Belgian... was it bistro?
Yeah, well, it was like a beer hall.
A beer hall? Yeah. A Belgian beer hall in Arlington?
Yes.
Virginia, called Lyon.
Lyon, okay.
And like the pairings with mussels and frites, right? Like it was it was traditional Belgian cuisine. And they had Chimay, but it's like, do you want red, blue, white? I'm like, you have to tell me what the red, blue, white are. And the waiter was like,
you know.
But with the food, it was perfect.
Yeah, and we got a flight of different Belgian beers, and you know the Chimays were all well represented with the white, red, and blue, which is why I want to relearn from you, Chris, what the white, the red, and the blue are. But when you get it with that pot, like, you know, when they make the mussels,
yes, I love that.
So good with
and
like
there's different kinds,
and,
right? You can get the garlic and white wine one. You can get like
bread.
The curry one. You
yes,
can, yeah.
It's
love
amazing.
It.
It's love amazing, it. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
And then drinking it with something like this,
yes,
or eating it with something like this,
yeah, one of our. First,
and you get the bread,
first,
the hard bread, and you like dip it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just, yeah. It absorbs that stuff. I'm sorry, we're getting all mushy again. But, so cheers to that.
Cheers.
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 To Chimay. And excellent Trappist beers and a wonderful, wonderful. Now, again, this is the triple.
This is the triple.
So we're starting a triple and then.
Starting with the triple.
We'll explain the red, blue, and gold
yes.
as we get through.
Yes. I hope so. I hope there's enough information on this webpage. So,
So most creative ingredients. The top category in that, and it gave them the entry to the list of the top 31 at number 31 is Prairie Bomb. It's an imperial stout from Oklahoma Prairie Artisan Ales.
I've never had an Oklahoma beer.
Yeah, neither have I. And it's Mad Scientist, back to the science versus
not
art.
Not too far from here.
Oklahoma?
Yeah, there's like a border with
I don't know.
Colorado, right?
You're in like the four corners, so you're like bordering everything. See, now look, what is he telling me? Like, this luscious stout is aged on espresso and vanilla beans, chocolate, and ancho chili peppers.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is one of the things we're looking for in our special episode. This requisite roasty stout flavors are there, plus a stronger coffee presence, sweet vanilla, and milky chocolate, all fired up with a flash of heat in the finish. That sounds awesome. Prairie Bomb. All right,
you're going to have to crack through these.
Okay, so number 30, one of the original beers that we used to love as a kid when we couldn't get all these different craft beers, Samuel Smith, right?
Samuel Smith,
so
imported
this,
from England.
This is their best dessert beer.
Organic.
Samuel Smith Organic Chocolate Stout.
Is there a tea in there?
Organic.
Well, if you watch Reservation Dogs, you would get,
it's
and they're in Oklahoma.
Organic.
See, it's a blend from one to the other. She gets me. All right, there's a lot special about Samuel Smith's Organic Chocolate Stout. The brewery is an English landmark. We're not going to read all that. Best Porter. You were just talking about it. Breckenridge Brewery Vanilla Porter.
Vanilla Porter, yes. I'm not a huge porter guy, but I love a vanilla porter.
And they're the number one best porter at coming in at number 29. Number 28, Best Stout. I don't know about this one, but... Goose Island Bourbon County Stout. I know that was one that people used to line up for.
I've had that. Yeah.
This used to be one of those Grail beers that
Goose
people
Island,
had tried.
Goose Island, Chicago, right? I remember many times, hitting the Chicago airport and going to the Goose Island.
Goose Island, but they've been purchased up by InBev.
Yes.
But,
yes.
But they started that whole concept there. Now this is. Interesting that they're at number 27, but this was another Grail beer that I think, I know that you and I have had before. I don't know if you've ever had.
No, I've never heard of it.
Okay. Oh. Number 27, Best Rare Cans, Heady Topper.
Heady Topper, yes.
Heady Topper is a classic beer here. We all know that about from The Alchemist. But I have become more and more a fan of I think
Focal Banger.
I like Focal Banger better. I think its flavor profile is a little bit better.
I was up in Stowe last Christmas, had a bunch of Heady Topper and Focal Banger.
So I am going
to
read.
Went to the brewery.
I am going to read this one. Number 26.
These are from The Alchemist.
Is that's Heady okay. Topper. Excellent. Brewer. We were drinking some of those crazy beers out of earlier. Best cult favorite IPA.
Okay.
I've never heard of this one. Maybe you have. Toppling Goliath King Sue.
Yeah, I've heard. They're from like Surly or one of those places, right? Like one of those Midwest. Minneapolis, Wisconsin type places.
It's in Iowa.
Iowa, okay.
Isn't that what IA is?
Midwest, yeah. Right?
So speaking of beer nerd culture, if you're an IPA fan, you might be aware of the style's own cult status. King Sue is a double IPA from Toppling Goliath Brewing Company in Decorah, Iowa. The brewery had wowed consumers with their IPA Pseudo Sue and doubled its hoppiness and tropical milkshakiness for King Sue. The result is a perpetually sought-after brew, an instant status symbol for your Instagram feed where there's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. All right, so moving on quickly. Here is a famous Grail beer that has no category topic but just came in straight at 25, which is kind of odd because it's usually up at like 1, 2, or 3 on best beers. Russian Rivers, Pliny the Elder.
Yes.
We all know and love, you and I have had the luxury of having Pliny the Elder. I've been to the Russian River Brewery. Yes. It's on our Facebook thing from 100 years ago. Best
original. We do get Russian River stuff here every now and then. And
really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it gets this far west. Yep. Or you got to go to Philadelphia.
Yes.
Again, connecting the
I think we talked about this on a previous episode. They're in like, there's little pockets. They're like, they're in Colorado. They're in Philly.
And then
they're in like West Coast. One or two other places.
That's the big sack, Sacramento. So best original American IPA is IPA Bear Republic Racer 5 IPA.
Okay, yeah. That's one that goes back to like in the earlier, like maybe the second wave of stuff was like Racer 5.
Yeah, that's one of the must-haves.
Yep.
Isn't Racer 5 from Speed Racer? Wasn't his number 5?
I don't know.
All right. Well, I might have gone too far there. Best goes
I took some at number 23. That Speed Racer thing. That was pretty good.
I still haven't seen it yet.
It's good.
Collective Arts gummies. Guava Goes coming in at number 23. That's a Canadian brewery.
Okay.
All right. Quickly moving on. This is a we were talking about Belgians earlier. We've been drinking some Belgians. Lindemann's Framboise Lambic. Is the best lambic coming in at number 22.
And so one of the entry points to fruity sour beer, like a little bit sour, right?
More sours were cool.
Yeah, it was more fruity than sour. And I remember this was what we had.
That was a good beer.
We sought after this prior to all the craft brews and having this experimental stuff.
Yeah, it used to be easier to find, but I don't know if I've even seen one recently.
Exactly, yeah. I remember drinking it in the 90s in Arizona, but you had to go to special beer stores to find it, but it was
I should keep my eye out for that. If I see it, I'll grab one.
It is a very tasty beer, and you know a place we could probably find it is if we went to a Belgian restaurant.
Yes.
They probably would have it if it was still available.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, number 21, best Schwarzbier.
Schwarzbier, yeah. Beer.
I am going to murder this pronunciation, but it's Kostritzer Schwarzbier. And this is a German style, and it's one of the original producers of Schwarzbier is Kostritzer, which has been brewing in Germany since 1543. And to wrap up this particular thing, I mentioned it earlier, and now it shows up here as Best American Twist Beer, which is Omegang Three Philosophers. And when I said it was something that goes with a Belgian quad.
That's a quad, right? Isn't it?
I'm going to read, because I don't know what the twist is, because it says two styles. So I'm going to read this one, actually, and wrap up the list for this particular thing. Oh, it might be a blend. Omegang's Three Philosophers is a special treat. It's a blend of two styles, a creek and a quadruple.
Yes.
A creek is a lambic, which we just discussed with the framboise, made with cherries, and a quadruple is a strong dark Belgian ale with caramel, molasses, bread, and pepper flavors. And I did, the pepper is, okay. This combo is a lovely American twist on a Belgian classic that smells and tastes like brown sugar, dark fruit, chocolate, caramel, vanilla, and of course cherries. I love Three Philosophers. That is a fantastic beer. It's like one of the best beers I've ever had.
A sipper for sure, though.
Oh, absolutely. And one. You get one big bottle and you share it with your friends.
Yes.
And we'll wrap number 20 and we can go back and revisit this at later time as all we go on. What is our next flavor color of
Chimay? The next Chimay beer in our lineup. This is Chimay Gold.
Oh, my God. All right. So what is Chimay Gold? Because that's the thing. They'd say it's white, it's gold, it's blue, it's rouge. But what the hell are they?
Hold on.
Which I know I really just need to do an internet search and then I can find this answer.
Nope, I've got it.
All right. 6 minutes of prep.
I still don't understand that idea because I always thought the 6 minutes of prep were that you did 6 minutes of prep.
No, we don't even do 6 minutes of prep.
Okay.
Oh, that's and we would be Brandon, so much better had we do it. We would
Brendan told us, just, like, guys, just do 6 minutes of prep before the episode.
It'd be so much better.
Which we don't do.
We don't.
We did not listen.
Just out of spite, because we don't, don't like being told what to do.
This is essentially Chimay's Golden Ale.
Okay, so this is their base. This is their entry level.
This is the one.
This is a one. We started with a three. Now we're going to one. Yes. Then we're going to two and then a four.
Yes.
I'm really afraid that one of these things is going to hit me in the eye. You have
4.8% on this one. Here it comes.
No, he wants it. No,
he wants it. So you're deliberately using
this. Oh, yeah, I want it to pop.
Oh, okay. That was scary. See, it was organic.
It was organic.
Organic pop. All right. This is pouring a beautiful golden hue. Head is not as rocky as the last one.
Okay.
You need to pour that into your glasses.
You want to share this one?
Sure.
Okay. So we're going to let that go a little bit. Look at that fizzy.
So this one should be a little, you know, easier to drink. We should have started with this one, to be honest.
It looks a little lighter.
Yes.
But the color is a nice golden straw. Again, tight white bubbles, excellent legs.
But not as rocky, like the head isn't like...
No, yeah, it's not doing...
You couldn't carve it.
No, this is staying like a smooth...
I get more sweetness on this.
I'm having trouble catching a bouquet. I'm not getting anything. But again, as always, when we do these things, for some reason my nose is stuffed. Could be COVID. Ooh. So that's a little bit more, I believe our friend Jeff introduced this word to our palate, aqueous. It doesn't have the depth of the Saint-Saëns we just had, which seemed a little bit more, it would stick more to your tongue. This one kind
of washes over you. This is that, like, you just mowed the lawn and you want a cold beer.
It's a little lighter, which, to Chris's point, this would be a good entry.
But It's definitely more complex than a Mexican lager. Or
something. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's no Miller Lite. It's no Miller Genuine Draft. No, is it MGD? No, Miller High Life. But it's got a little bit of body, a little bit of bite.
But it is easy drinking. Not like.
It's sweet, but it doesn't have the big bitter kick that the Saint-Saëns had.
Trying to differentiate it from that one. It's definitely a different tasting beer.
But this does taste like your traditional blonde. It's like straight up.
It's very bubbly on my tongue too. Is it popping off?
Yeah, it's more effervescent.
Maybe that's
But it doesn't have the as much
is
as
it
a
some of the spiciness.
Bite at the end.
Is it like? Or is it the bubbles from the carbonation?
That's a good question. I think it's more the bubbles because it's not sticking on the back. I think so. Yeah, on the palate, it's not staying there. That's a good beer, though. I would like to drink a lot of that. What's the ABV on this?
We've done that. This is only like 4.8%.
See, that's a good low. That's something. If you want to drive home after having mussels and frites. This is not a terrible beer to have. It doesn't have the complexity or depth of the Saint-Saëns.
Don't drink or drive, kids.
Oh, no. Uber. We Uber everywhere.
Yes. We talked
Lyft.
About...
Lyft. We're talking I'm sorry, about... Lyft. We Lyft everywhere.
Oh.
With a Y.
Is Uber canceled?
I don't know. I can't stay on top of these things because the next thing you know, the next thing's canceled. God forbid. Don't bring up J.K. Rowling.
They do like a spider flavor chart on the Chimay.
A spider flavor chart?
You're talking about other things.
You know, the spider charts where they like all the different flavors are the different things and it like tells you how far each one goes.
Wait, show me a spider chart. No, I got a splinter. I don't know how that.
For corporates, you know what a spider chart is?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the feelings wheel.
Oh, right. The feelings wheel. Got it.
So this one rates highest on spices, fruits, and acidity.
Fruits?
Low on bread and toast.
I got it.
Yay! See, this is why she's a keeper.
I just high-fived you and put it back.
She pulled a splinter. Now it's in my other hand.
That's
but
like
she pulled a splinter out of the lion's paw.
That's mom skills, though, right there.
That's right. Don't make it weird.
That was weird, Chris.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was going to cheers you, but
you guys can make it weird, but I can't.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But you know, Chris, you are my heterosexual life mate.
Yes.
So don't be jealous. I mean, you came first.
I'm a little jealous.
You'll always be.
I might
one.
Show out a little bit. All right, Mike, you want to go to the next 10 on your list?
Absolutely. Please, can we do a topic change? So, we left off at number 20, Omegang, Three Philosophers, and then going into Best West Meets East IPA. That's very hard to say. Best West Meets East IPA.
Okay, what's that about?
Ithaca Flower Power. I think that's worthy of... I'm going to read the little description. Okay. I know we're pressed for time and stuff. But the Ithaca Flower Power IPA is another form of West Coast meets Northeast for India Pale Ales. Brewer Jeff O'Neill had worked at several breweries in the Bay Area, and he brought his expertise in creating a pitch-perfect West Coast IPA to New York. When he went to work for Ithaca Beer Company, Flower Power is considered one of the most important beers in the industry because of how to introduce a West Coast style done right to the East. Wow. So that Ithaca, I mean, that's upstate New York. When I go to Gore Mountain, I'll grab some and see what we can do. Oh, number 18.
Okay.
Number 18.
Hold on to your...
Chimay Grand Reserve.
Uh-oh, it's coming
up, Belgian
out, guys.
Strong ale.
Don't spoil it for us.
We won't read anything about it, but popping the cork is the beer equivalent of popping a nice bottle of champagne. This is why Chris makes the most out of the beer popping.
I mean, he's getting his sword ready.
Yes. He's just going to cut that right off. There we go.
Yeah.
Best hoppy yet manageable beer, number 17, Half Acre Daisy Cutter Pale Ale.
What does manageable mean?
I'm not quite sure.
You can drink that and work at the same time.
Let's see. While Daisy Cutter Pale Ale from Half Acre is a craft kid compared to Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, it's still got a respectable decade under its belt. 10 years basically makes it a beer, a wise and revered elder in the craft brewing world. This Chicago brewed Pale Ale has all the dank hoppiness of more assertive IPA, but a lighter, smoother clip, making it more crushable source of hot flavor.
Crushable. There's that word again.
We like that. Now, number 16 is one of my favorite beers. Tastes like lemongrass. Pardon me. It's IPA, Lawson's Finest Liquid,
yes.
Sip of Sunshine IPA. This is just a fantastic beer. I'm not going to read all the press on it.
So Lawson's...
came from Vermont, moved to Connecticut, mass-produced in Stamford.
Or they're still in Vermont, right? But they increased their brewing by using some partners in other places.
They went to Stamford, Connecticut and just started spitting the shit out. But the quality is still
But
excellent.
They have other ones other than Sip of Sunshine. Sip of Sunshine, like, we can find in Colorado every now and then. But there's some other of their beers that you can't find. Like... some others that you can't find outside of Vermont.
Yeah, and one of the luxuries that I get to experience because I have friends who live in Vermont is they will bring some of those Vermont only beers when we get together to go skiing. And it's always an exciting opportunity there. So number 15. Lagunitas, back to the West Coast.
Okay, Lagunitas.
Lagunitas.
Yeah, they're West Coast. They're north of they're.
But like they're Pocella. What's that town called? Pocahontas.
Are they from San Diego?
No, they're north of San Francisco.
Yes,
yeah, on the coast.
Palermo, something like that.
Yes.
It's one of those P towns, like above, not quite Sacramento, not quite Napa, but north of San Francisco. Speaking of San Francisco, number 14, Original American Beer, after 137 years, recently closed.
Anchor Steam.
Yeah. Which you find.
Which I enjoy with a low country boil.
Oh, yeah. What's a low country boil?
It's peel and eat shrimp cooked with sausage, potatoes, and corn and seasoned up with... It's not Old Bay, but it's kind of a South Georgia thing. It's really good.
Yeah, like what separates it from... Like what's low country versus like a traditional seafood boil? Is it any different or is it the same thing?
I don't know. Maybe in the way it's prepared, like a traditional boiled, like I don't know how they do it. It's not like a clam bake or anything weird where they dig a hole or anything. I don't know. But it's basically just sausage and shrimp and potatoes and corn. And
I like that.
And it's a great food to have a beer with.
Yes, that sounds very good.
All right, number 13, best fruity beer, Schaffer Grapefruit Hefeweizen. Moving on, best Irish beer, which I would put in contention for best stout, Guinness Drought.
Okay.
Wait,
you say drought, is it draft?
Draught, because it's in the bottle. It's draught, the one that has that little nitrous pill in it. And, you know, it's
cut open one. The can and get the little ball out of
it. No, this is a bottle one, but it has the same kind of shit going in there.
Oh, yeah. How do they do that? It's magic. Magical. Little leprechauns doing that.
Hey, have you taken my Lucky Charms? Number 11, best American IPA, Bell's Two Hearted IPA. Everybody loves Bell's Two Hearted IPA. It's
so
fucking phenomenal.
Bell's Two Hearted, even above Hetty Topper in the list.
Yeah, that's what I'm not quite sure, you know. And then we're doing one more round, so I go 10 down after that, or do I do number 10 now? I've confused
you. Broke me. Sorry, you broke me.
So we're just going to stop here and we'll pick up with number 10.
All right, Mike, let me grab the next Chimay beer, which is Chimay Red.
So not the blue that was number 18 on this list.
No, we'll get to that. We've got that as well. Right. Chimay Red, I believe, is either a brown or a double. They don't like to categorize on their website. So maybe someone else can find
it. And that's the thing. It's like when they're like, which color do you want? It's like, I don't know. I need to know which one is. But don't they have like the fleur-de-lis, or are they all two? Are there more numbers on that one?
No, there's all two. The two fleur-de-lis.
The icon. That's
so this one's also called Premier.
Yes.
Okay. This is also called Premier Chimay Premier, the red bottle one. It's a copper-tinted brown ale. All right, let's see, guys. Let's just taste it and find out. And that means, what do I get to do again?
Pie and the cork.
Mike's eye out.
Chris,
you got your glasses on?
I do have eye protection on.
Why? Okay, he's aiming it right at your face.
No, I'm not.
It's because she wants to protect me.
Yes. I'm not going to say you're momming. So
shit.
I did it again.
Now I'm gonna have to go to therapy after this. Oh, look at that color.
There's an opening.
Look at that color.
Let me make sure Loki doesn't eat the corks.
So you don't care about my eyes, but you will protect a dog from
Was not aimed at you.
Look at those tiny.
I mean, maybe from an angle. Like hitting the ceiling.
Maybe accidentally.
I have to get past the glass.
I was trying to do a little bullseye action, you know?
Exactly. He's trying to get
in
there. And yes, he cares about the dog more than you.
So the bubble, the color.
By the way, Chimay makes cheeses too.
Oh, well, we need to pair that. Now, this one is not as clear. This one has cloudy.
Is it? Yeah,
it's a
cloudy.
Much darker color. It's like a rich
brownish.
Amber to brown.
They call this a brown. They call it a brown.
I hope it's not a brown frown. But it got the tight white head.
Is this going to be a stone fruit beer? Or
no. It's got a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of malty. It tastes almost... This tastes like a fucking perfect beer.
The maltiness is...
It's a good malt.
From all the beers we've had for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, the maltiness popping out. Differentiating,
but it's not too biscuity though. It's like it gives it
toffee?
Almost that molasses, like
molasses toffee. Yeah,
toffee's good, but there's a nice bitter finish though, so it keeps it from being cloying.
Not too much on the nose, though.
And it's very effervescent. That's a freaking phenomenal. Chimay makes fucking awesome beers.
Toffee is such a good word.
Toffee,
yeah, right. Don't you think?
We've done a bunch of like Trappist beers and Belgian beer episodes, but never. A flight from the same brewery. So this is really interesting. I like this, like doing these different styles in a row.
And the quality of this is just, I mean, all three of these have been phenomenal. This one's pretty damn good.
And all you guys can get this probably, no matter where you are. So if you can't go to the good beer store in your city, and you can probably find some Chimay.
And if you can't find some, is it Chimay or Chimay? Let's go with Chimay.
I like Chimay.
Chimay?
I don't know.
We should go to Google and just hit the... Pronounce this. But,
Hey Siri, how do you pronounce Chimay?
Well, you silenced it because he told you to silence it a few episodes ago.
Well, plus she's gaslighting him. You know, she does. Yeah, she wants to be. She wants to be seen more important than anybody else. It's like very craziness.
Chimay.
But if you can't find it at your local beverage distributor, you can always check out your local Belgian or French cuisine, because they'll probably have this, you know, again, where you have the mussel pots.
Chimay.
No.
Shut up.
Chimay.
You don't know what you're talking about, Google.
Did you do Google or Siri?
Oh, here we go. How do you pronounce Chimay beer correctly?
Bonjour, this is Julian, the Frenchman who makes French pronunciation videos here on YouTube, and
we don't need the intro. What was his name?
In Belgium, and of course, this is also the name of a famous brewery making Trappist beer in the town.
We've got an expert on the podcast, guys.
We are looking at how to pronounce with a typical French pronunciation or Belgian French pronunciation, Chimay.
Chimay. See, we were right. Chimay. All right, thank you.
Chimay!
Julian Miguel.
Do you ever watch South Park?
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Chimay!
Is that Timmy? Chimay.
Well, Chimay!
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 These are such... these seem just like really food-friendly beers.
Yes, absolutely. If only we had some steamed mussels with herrings. A good baguette to dip in the garlic wine sauce.
Yes, the hard, crusty bread into the mussel sauce.
And, oh my God. And the rich, that umami...
We gotta go.
Sorry guys, we're not gonna get to the end of the thing. We're not gonna try.
We're gonna do another episode. Sherry's getting us beer right now, but
yeah, well, it's too late. We're gonna be at the Belgian place down the street, and she won't find us.
But like, since moving to Denver, there's always like something that pops up. Like, I need to find a good, like, what's the best this thing in Denver area, right? So, like, what's the best cheesesteaks in Denver? Or what's the best...
Cheesesteaks?
What's the best, like, crab cakes or lobster rolls?
These are things you should not eat in Denver.
But like, you get the craving for those things, right? Okay. So, I think the, like, Belgian mussel place is something that I have not found yet and would look for.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So, yeah.
By the way, we found a really good lobster roll place.
Lobster roll?
Yes.
No shit?
Yes.
Really?
They, like, ship the stuff in from Maine every day. Do
they have Maine
beer
Maine?
Stuff in there?
Yes.
So,
Lynn was just exposed to some Maine...
Oh, that was great.
Was it the
Maine beer or?
It was the Maine Brewing Company.
Maine Brewing Company t-shirt.
It was just their pale ale, right?
Lunch? Was it called lunch or dinner?
We had lunch, and then there was the other, the Wolf.
Wolf neck. Something neck. Something like that.
And that was really good.
It was delicious. I took a picture of the label, but.
What was the name of the place we went to?
Because Cheers and Beers.
Cheers and Beers TOO. Because they have another Cheers and Beers, but it's a bottle shop that now has beers on draft and also some pretty high-end
amazing food.
They have some amazing empanadas, and we got all this good food, but that's where they had
Maine Beer Company.
Oh, so good.
Been to that brewery.
That's another good beer experience. Like, we've had
a
bazillion beer experiences recently. It's been good. So, do I go back to the list
here? I'm not jealous at all.
That cork was not aimed at your eye.
Not at all.
Next one might be aimed at Liv. this is delicious. The red bottle one. What's it called again? Reserve?
It's
Premier.
Premier.
Premier. The blue Chimay, one is the reserve.
Was it? Chimay.
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 Premier. Chimay.
It's a copper-tinted brown ale that combines generous hints of fruit, toast, and sweet caramel, which, yeah, I get all that. The Trappist logo certifies that this ale is brewed in a Trappist Abbey and that the majority of sales income is intended for social aid.
That's right.
So, right. So, like, for especially for
guys,
the...
Guys, this the episode, we are saving the world.
We are. Like, we're contributing to our alcoholism and social benefit in Belgium. The exceptional yeast insulated by Father Theodore, combined with the purity of the highly protected water of the Abbey's wells, gives Chimay its unique richness. Since 1862, Chimay's secondary fermented ales have neither been pasteurized nor filtered, and only natural ingredients are used. Wow. Beer fermented in the bottle contains barley and wheat.
Does this have
a really
the...
special beer?
This is amazing.
Oh yeah, you can see the like stuff at the bottom of the bottle.
And it tells you never store this shit on its side. It's not wine.
No.
It's beer.
And
it's
don't
beer.
Pack it in your suitcase.
Yeah. True. Keep it vertical,
for a
baby.
Multi-state.
All right. Yeah. You want to do the final 10, Mike?
Okay. We're going to go to final 10. Number 10, coming from the Mideast, Victory Brewing.
The Mideast.
Victory Golden Monkey. Did you say the East is the least?
Did you say the Mideast?
I said the Mideast. Mid-Atlantic.
Pennsylvania?
Mid-Atlantic, not Mideast. Sorry.
I was like, is there
I say faux pas.
Is there a Saudi Arabian beer on here?
God damn it, I'm just not there.
Everyone's a critic.
So Pennsylvania's Victory Brewing makes one of America's
Victory,
favorite takes
delicious.
On Belgian Triple.
Triple, yeah.
I like what we started
yes.
with the white label, which yeah. is, was it the Sanxant?
Sanxant. Sanxant?
Which is usually fruity and spicy, and on the stronger side, at 9.5 ABV, Golden Monkey packs notes of banana, clove, orange, and earthy hops with a dry finish. Made since 1997, it set the bar for American breweries to try their hands at Belgian beers. I agree, man. The Victory, and they have a golden sour, which is this but sour. It's freaking phenomenal.
Victory is one of those beers when I go back to the East Coast, I'm like, I'm looking for a Victory. Like, yeah.
Victory's good. And oh my God, we drank four of them. The Yards.
Yards, yeah.
Yards was another phenomenal Pennsylvania brewery.
That stuff was so well balanced.
Yes.
It's one of the ones that I could see like getting shut down, right? It's like kind of regional in nature. It's a certain size. Their beers aren't like, we're well known for kicking you in the nuts with this beer,
no,
right?
I make a really good, well-balanced this.
I hope those places are able to keep going.
I agree. Because that's good beer. So number
we
nine.
We need to balance out the craziness, beer community. We need to like kind of chill out.
With some standard, stable quality. This is the baseline from which your mad scientist can expand.
I mean, look
from.
At Chimay. They've been producing the same stuff for like hundreds of years and we're still enjoying it.
And it's delicious and there's no preservatives. Perhaps you've heard of this beer at number nine, maybe. I don't know. It's a little small brewery called
Modelo.
Sierra Nevada.
Oh, Sierra Nevada.
Sierra Nevada
Just
Pale Ale.
Pale Ale, yeah.
Yep.
That was
best classic pale ale.
Yes.
I would
yes.
agree that is the epitome of a classic pale ale.
Our early beer drinking experiences, we drank so many, many Sierra Nevadas.
This
yes.
is the beer that got me interested in craft
yes.
beer in general and just a shift away from... The six pack of Miller Lite.
Yes.
Just
what do
to
you
get
call
you
them,
drunk.
Mike? The gateway beers, right?
Gateway.
Yeah.
It's a gateway beer.
It's delicious.
It teaches you to like beer. For
it still
the
is.
Beer
yeah,
has things.
I don't like it in the can though.
Do they do it in the can?
Yeah,
I have seen
I don't know.
It in the can.
I think it's better.
Yeah, this is one
bottle.
Where you just want it in the bottle, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Chilled in the
green
bottle.
Label.
The bottle sweating a little bit.
Yes,
yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
On a hot day.
Exactly.
Give me some of that.
And staying in the style of our Belgian theme, and maybe this is a Belgian bias on this list, without any categorization, number eight, L'Effet Blonde.
Okay, yeah.
Which I do like that beer, and I think we've had that on the podcast. I
believe so, yeah.
Belgian beer scene is richly varied between independent breweries and Trappist breweries, producing beautiful interpretations of iconic styles. More recently, during the 20th century, Belgian breweries sought to compete with German and Czech lagers with lighter styles, and the Blonde Ale was born. And that's L'Effet, L-E-F-F-E. Right. Number seven, the number one traditional German beer, Weinstaffer Hefe Weissbier.
Yes.
So this is an Abbey brewery. Is this one of the ones? That, is this a Trappist?
No.
No. But it's founded in 1040. This is one of the oldest beers.
Before 1066.
Before 1066.
Is this the one that you like swirl the yeast and stuff around in your bottle?
The German wheat beer's flavor, Banana Club, is also a total trailblazer as far as German beers are concerned. The country's 1516 laws require German beer to be made only from water, hops, and barley. And later when fermentation was understood, yeast... Until George Schneider acquired a dispensation in 1872 in commercial breweries making wheat beers. So this allowed them to use wheat instead of barley. I can't believe this is number 6.
Keep and cranking, man. We're at 46 minutes.
Already. I can't believe they have a category of best brown ale. Because there's drinking? One thing on CNBC, brown frown. Except for Cigar City, there's never been a really good brown ale. Newcastle brown ale, boo.
Yeah, Newcastle, come on.
But Cigar City, I just mentioned, now comes in at number 5 for best IPA, Cigar City Hi-Li IPA.
I
don't know if it'd be best of
it's
all.
It's really good.
It's
but
very good.
I mean, those IPAs on that last episode.
Yeah.
I think maybe we're better than Hi-Li.
Fair enough.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Down.
This cannot possibly be true. Number 4 on the list.
What?
Best classic American beer.
Corona.
Nope. Corona. Miller High Life American Lager. I am
the champagne of beers.
I'm going. Yeah, it says right on the label, and I'm going to read whatever they write about this because the one thing I have to say about this, it is a really good beer. But
John
again,
Dean's one of John Dean's favorites.
Has to be 37 degrees Celsius Fahrenheit. If it's not,
just above
you
freezing,
you can't drink it. Another refreshing, easy drinker is Miller High Life. Having been around since 1903, this lager is a key piece of American beer history. Even if you're not old enough to have seen the commercials firsthand, you remember the 1970s era jingle, if you've got the time, oh yeah, if you've got the time, we got the beer, Miller beer. High Life is just so clean and simple that even craft beer and cocktail pros count it as their mainstream brew of choice. And its champagne of beers identity is an endearing play on the high-low concept. From daytime gatherings to late-night bar visits, Midler High Life is a familiar comfort. And actually, this beer is Mark Farrell's favorite beer.
Is it?
Yeah.
He doesn't drink anymore, does he?
I mean, maybe.
He doesn't, but when he did.
You guys should have an episode where you just... okay, stop. You guys should have an episode where you do, like, you know...
Have just two American light lagers. We have not. We did 40s.
Yeah, we did.
Oh,
we did.
Oh,
do,
that's
we
cool.
did do. Yeah,
for episode lagers. 40, I think.
But that's a good idea.
We should do that.
We could do that remote.
We could do that. Yeah, absolutely.
That would be a way because we both can
Budweiser,
get access.
Budweiser, Miller High Life, Coors.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Boy,
so Banquet or Coors Light?
Coors Light.
I'll do Coors Banquet. I don't know about Coors Light.
Coors Banquet. Okay, fine.
Number 3, best Mexican beer, Budweiser. No, Modelo Especial.
Okay.
Number 2, this is a great beer, Bell's Oberon American Wheat Ale.
Yeah, nice little...
It's the best American wheat ale.
What?
So we had Bell's Too Hard. Bell's got 2 placement in here.
Bell, maybe the only one, right?
Yeah, I don't think anybody else had 2. Number 1 beer...
Sponsored by Bell's.
What?
Best Pilsner... I don't know how this is the number 1 beer of this top list, but it is a really good beer. Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah. For
it's
a Czech
great
Pilsner,
Pilsner.
It's a great Czech Pilsner.
But I don't know if I put this number 1 on the damn list.
Yeah, that Czech brewery I was talking about a couple episodes ago, Cohesion, they style one of their beers like, they're like, this is like Pilsner Urquell.
Yeah. I mean, it is classic.
What do you call that when it's like the thing that you model everything after?
Your baseline?
Yeah.
Your template?
Yes.
Yeah.
The template for a great Czech beer. All right.
The benchmark. Your benchmark.
Benchmark.
Your benchmark.
That's it. Benchmark for
this
a great
is your
Czech
benchmark
Pilsner.
Pilsner.
All right, Mike. We've got one more beer to try, and we're at the 50-minute mark, so let me grab that beer.
This is a long... But you know why? These are big bottles of beer, and we needed to use all this filler to consume this beer.
We need to absorb.
Good thing we had that pot of mussels, 2 baguettes of bread. to absorb all this. This is number.
There's more in these bottles, guys.
I believe this was number 18 on our list.
Yes, Chimay's Grand Reserve.
All right, let's read up about it. For when you're feeling a little fancy, popping that cork is the equivalent of popping a nice bottle of champagne. The Grand Reserve is a Belgian strong ale.
Okay.
Which boasts a bouquet of caramel, toast, plum, fit. Oh, damn it. I shouldn't read any of that until afterwards.
Here comes the cork.
Here it comes.
Whoa! Oh, that came that back one, at you. That was karma, baby.
Put a hole
baby.
In the ceiling. All right, Mike. What are we on? Oh, Grand Reserve. Chimay Blue Grand Reserve. Pour yourself some of the... Did you pour it?
I did.
All right.
And the color on this, a dark, cloudy, deep, deep brown. I thought we were on Do Not Disturb.
Well, he had to turn
She's got
off
the beer stuff.
The Chimay pronunciation.
All right.
9%.
Which I just
mispronounced
again, I think.
Chimay.
Chimay. This is Chimay Blue.
9% alcohol by volume. What did they describe it?
It's a Grand Reserve, and they put it. You have to have a scent.
Light brown head. Light brown head. You cannot.
I mean, it.
You
it,
can
it's,
barely
it's
see through this.
Bordering on dark
you
brown.
You get a little tiny bit of light through it, but yeah, dark brown for
now,
sure.
Now this is a sharp cheese companion. If
yeah.
Wrong, don't you think?
Smells good.
Oh my god.
Maybe like a. Yeah.
So this has got to be one of those ones that like comes across as mellow, but it's like high in ABV.
9%. Yeah, it's
oh god, this
dangerously
is
easy to drink, right?
Yeah,
it's almost got a little bit of the Guinness easy drinking because it has that same head as the Guinness.
Yeah.
Do you have that too? That like super tiny tight bubble head. Yeah.
Tight little bubbles like little guys bouncing on things, jumping up. Yeah. Watch the bubbles form.
Transitions to a soft mocha combined with an intense spicy taste.
Yeah, this would warm up nice and get closer to like a porter, maybe.
Candied fruit finish.
I get it. Right now, it's got a lot of effervescence. For the flavor profile it is, it's very, very bubbly.
I think you want this to warm a little bit.
Yes,
right?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like this thing would warm up and open up its notes. But it's good straight from the beginning.
It was in 1948 that Father Theodore began the first tests with the new yeast. In 1954, the Special Noël Christmas beer was sold for the end of the year festivals only. In 1956, it became the Blue Capsule, available throughout the year and an essential element of the range of Chimay beers. Chimay Blue has an incredible aging capacity. This is why it is also called Grand Reserve in the 75 CL 750 liter bottle. We're American, we don't understand.
Versus the IPA, drink it immediately.
Yes.
This is the opposite.
Let it mellow. Yes.
So if you had to go to a Belgian restaurant and they're like, do you want gold, white, blue, or red?
Oh, like for muscle with mussels? With the garlic mussels?
Yeah, with like a traditional eating with the frites and the bread and the butter and the garlic and the wine and
do you want the lighter, easier drinking one, or do you want the more complex, darker one? You know, I think either could work, but I think I'm leaning towards more either the triple or the gold.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I'd go triple or Grand Reserve.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you want a higher alcohol?
Yeah, I think the counterbalance of the sweetness and the rock candy and the molasses, etc., offsets that really super savory from the mussels and the umami from the mussels and the there's a little bit of salt in there, like it's a perfectly balanced combination. And I think Lynn was saying with the Grand Reserve that. Like a sharp cheese as well would be like a nice sync up with that flavor.
Something rich and savory, just yeah.
All right, guys, we've got the Sophie's Choice of beers tonight. Chimay's 500, the triple. We've got their gold. We then moved on to the Premier, their brown ale, and then the Grand Reserve. Which one of these beers was your favorite? Lynn.
Oh, what? I was totally paying attention, by the way.
Just pick a color, any color.
It's really hard because it does depend on the mood, what you're looking for, what you're eating, what kind of experience you want to have. Gun to my head. I mean, I kind of think the first one.
Yeah,
just because
makes sense.
It's almost
yeah.
like when you were talking about the baseline, the template, the anchor, whatever. That to me, when you first poured it, you were like, that smells like a beer.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, so
that smells like a Belgian Trappist beer.
I
yeah.
might just want that.
I agree. I'm gonna second on Lynn's thing.
I'm with you guys too. That was my favorite of these. I mean, look, these are all delicious beers. I wouldn't
absolutely
push, you know, roll any of these out of the bed. But
they are all really good.
And I gotta say, the last 3 weeks, I don't think we've had a clunker in the mix.
No.
All been excellent beers.
By the way, the Chimay Blue Grand Reserve, you can get it in a 6 liter bottle. You can get it in a 3 liter bottle.
A 6 liter bottle?
You can get it in the 1.5 liter
is
bottle.
Is that like a soda bottle?
This?
Like a Mountain
yeah,
Dew?
No. Like a... No, this is 750.
Milliliters.
So
that's like 0.75
or
75
centiliters.
So a 6 liter bottle is like that big?
Remember
was
that
like a
giant
barrel?
Bottle of Corson Donk?
I do.
Like,
we put coins in for years.
To get it in the door.
Yes.
So they make one of those for
you could
a
pack
Chimay.
That in your suitcase.
I could it's pack that in my suitcase next to the torso that's in my daughter's suitcase.
All right, Mike, let's close this one out.
No context on that at all.
All right, so thanks for listening to CNBC episode 1, 2, 3. I need my cheat sheets. Let me try that one again. I've had a little too much to get this thing correct on the first try. And I need my peepers, and let's try that again. Thanks for listening to CNBC episode 124. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in any podcatcher there is, iTunes, Spotify, etc. Or get the podcast directly from our host at cnbcpodcast.com. You can email us at
cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can also follow us on Instagram, cnbc_podcast. You'll see us post pictures, great photos from the weekend where Mike and Lynn are visiting. We're going to hit some breweries. We're drinking a bunch of beers right now.
We're going to go to the Colorado countryside, see some
post
foliage
the
change.
Episodes. And yeah, I think like let's focus on that. Let's focus on the Instagram because that's the funnest of the
things. And it's the most instantaneous.
Yes.
Even though it's meta. Maybe they'll
it's
break
still,
it off when,
yeah,
they, when they break when they make Instagram independent again. Everybody can go back and be happy with it.
All right, what's your quote for the week, Mike?
A warm beer is still a good beer, despite what modern country singers say.
Oh, those guys don't know anything. We love the warmed up beers.
These beers, if they're at the quality level we've had over the last 3 weeks, they all get better with a little bit of heat.
All right, drink good beer.
Drink good beer. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.